The March for Australia protests across the country has raised controversy around how the federal government is dealing with immigration. According to the group's website, a modern Australia is eradicating the nation's identity and culture. But is this movement uniting or dividing Australia? Assistant Minister of Cultural Affairs and member for Griffith Renee Coffey says it's dividing. The Wise Eduardo Jordan asked Assistant Minister Hill and Ms. Coffey if they heard concerns from their electorates in regard to the March for Australia group.
Absolutely, and especially in a community here. I represent Griffith, which is the south side of Brisbane. For me, I got involved in politics and in activism because I grew up in 1990s Queensland when Pauline Hanson made her maiden speech. That's why I got involved. I was outraged with what I heard her say back in the 90s. The fact that almost 30 years on, I am now in federal parliament and we're still talking about Pauline Hanson, and Pauline Hanson is still saying the types of things she was saying back then, and in some ways even worse, what she's espousing now, is deeply distressing to me, and I believe deeply distressing to our community as well. We have lots of people contact our office outraged with what they're hearing, because I don't believe that Australia that Pauline Hanson and One Nation believe in is the Australia that the majority of Australians want. And I think there's a visceral rejection, especially from our community, about the ideals that she holds.
Now, the politics of division is easy. Fundamentally, the politics that you're talking about in your question there of grievance, of scratching anger and division, that's an easier path to tread. Negative politics of the type, whether it's the populist left in the Greens political party or the populist right with Pauline Hanson, it's actually the same political business model. I know that often creates outrage when I say it. I'm not saying they share the same values, but it's the same political business model. It's not about trying to bring a majority of Australians together to form a government. It's about trying to scratch at the fringes and stoke anger and outrage and harvest some votes at either end of the spectrum. I think with respect to the rallies, we've got to separate a couple of issues. Firstly, there's many decent Australians who have concerns. They have every right to have a concern or a view about immigration policy, but the conflation of that by actual Nazis who are misusing people's grievances and concerns to stoke a horrifically racist, divisive agenda is something that needs to be called out. And the Prime Minister, you know, got attacked in some sections of the media when, I think rightly, he said there's a lot of people at those rallies who are very good people with legitimate grievances. But we cannot let those kind of normal debates, which everyone has a right to have, be conflated with this kind of toxic, racist, divisive agenda.
And my last question, Monday was Australia Day or Invasion Day, however you want to see it. And we know it's a controversial public holiday. We hear year after year about the issues of celebrating the National Day on the 26th of January. But on top of this year, the March for Australia again came into the picture. What's your intake on this, and why is changing the date not feasible?
I don't think of them as much as for Australia. I think of them as much as against Australia. The reality is Australia is and will remain a multicultural society. Now, our First Nations Australians spoke more than 250 languages. Our continent is vast and ancient. It's always been multicultural in different ways. The question is not whether we will remain diverse, it's whether we'll remain successful. On the issue of Australia Day, look, Australia Day means many different things to different people. It can depend on your ancestry, how you came here. And for First Nations Australians, we are mature enough to hold complex emotions. People can love our country and love modern Australia, but also acknowledge that for many Indigenous Australians in particular, there's a history of dispossession and pain. Those two things can coexist. I don't see them as a binary where we all have to fight about it. Australia Day is a chance to reflect on that history, to acknowledge it, to be proud, incredibly proud of what we've achieved and built as a country, but also be optimistic and recommit.
I think for me, I've worked with First Nations communities across Queensland and across Australia for several decades now, and I know that the 26th of January is a day that does carry a lot of hurt in the community, and it is, you know, a controversial date. I love Australia. I love so much about Australia, as I know so many of your listeners would as well. And for me, for this Australia Day, it was my first as a federal member, and I was invited to a local citizenship ceremony. And to be able to attend that and to see some of our newest Australians make an oath or a pledge to our country was, for me actually, and Juliet had told me this beforehand, he said, they're so great, you have to go to all of them. And so I went to this one, and it was actually incredibly moving for me and very affirming to understand further within myself how proud I am to be an Australian. You know, I tend tend in my work not to get held up with some of the outrage, protest and outrage. I'm really about practical and pragmatic changes for our country. And so I tend not to get distracted by things that might be a bit of a sideshow protest, outrage type issue, and really focus on what it is and what the meaning is. So I've spent decades working to address First Nations equality in education. It's something I'm really passionate about, and about closing the gap. That's where I've always put my effort in.
That was Assistant Minister for Multicultural Affairs Julian Hill and Member for Griffith Renee Coffey, speaking with the Wise Eduardo Jordan.